Welcome to this special SearchStorageChannel.com FAQ podcast. I'm Brian Kramer, Associate Editor with TechTarget's Channel Media Group. My guest today is Brian Peterson. Brian is an independent IT infrastructure analyst with a background in enterprise storage and open systems computing platforms. Today, Brian and I will be discussing those questions VARs, consultants, and system integrators often ask about Fibre Channel and iSCSI. Brian, welcome to the SearchStorageChannel.com FAQ podcast.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Let's jump right into the questions. First question, is iSCSI ready for prime time? What are some of the indications that it is mature enough to recommend to customers?
Yes, I think it is mature enough. It's been around for several years now, and in fact, I remember reading an article just a year or two ago where there was more than 1,500 iSCSI SANs deployed, mostly in SMB markets, but certainly it's developed enough momentum that it's here to stay for quite a while. Some of the indications from my perspective are that it's ready to go is that major operating systems are building in drivers and support for iSCSI right out of the box. You know, Microsoft and Linux both have iSCSI initiators available right out of the operating system. In fact, Linux has iSCSI targets in there. I'd say another driver, another indication that it's probably ready is there's definitely a business need for cheaper connectivity for in large enterprises for lower-end platforms like development systems, things like that, or maybe distance-challenged systems, you know, systems that are not immediately in the data center and maybe still have needs to get to the centralized storage on the SAN. Major storage manufacturers are supporting it natively. EMC, NetApp, and Cisco all have iSCSI targets built into their major storage platforms. And then the major adapter manufacturers are selling it and supporting it. For example, Intel and Adaptec both have iSCSI HBAs that have built-in TCP offload engines, tow cards, on the same card. So I'd say the market has definitely accepted iSCSI as something that's here to stay, and there's a business need that our customers are asking for. So yes, I think it is mature enough.
Now, what are some of the advantages of iSCSI over traditional fiber channel SANs?
Well, a lot of them are obvious. You know, most people look at iSCSI for cheaper connectivity. So when you consider that a SAN port, a traditional fiber channel SAN port for a director is oftentimes $1,200 a port, and for fiber channel switches can be, you know, $800 a port for the customer, then you throw in $1,500 for each HBA, and then you throw in high-end storage arrays on the back end, you know, the connectivity costs are actually rather significant for somebody who doesn't already have fiber channel infrastructure in place or is just not accustomed to spending that money on it. So the most obvious reason that people are looking for it is to obviously leverage cheaper connectivity. Another area that people are interested in iSCSI or some of the advantages in iSCSI is that especially for shops that don't, again, already have fiber channel infrastructure, they can leverage their existing knowledge in networking. And they don't have to go learning about zones and vSANs and buffer-to-buffer credits and all those things that are unique to fiber channel. Another very, very important advantage for some people is distance connectivity. So it's not uncommon, for example, for developers to have machines under their desks and not in the data center or in a remote location. And they need the functionality of block storage and their want to have SCSI or local block storage, not NAS storage, for their application developers. iSCSI really knows no limits in terms of distance. As long as you can get network connectivity, you can get to it. Definitely can't say the same thing for fiber channel. And then, obviously, kind of to play on the last point, is that iSCSI provides SAN storage for all kinds of machines. Again, desktops to the high-end machines. So real advantages in those spaces.
And what are the disadvantages?
One of the challenges, especially for mission-critical or performance-sensitive applications, is that there's a higher latency in iSCSI, specifically wrapping SCSI packets around TCP/IP protocol has some overhead. And the other thing is that it's difficult to guarantee the performance of mixed networks. For example, if you're voice over IP and your iSCSI and your email and your Microsoft Word documents are all on the same wire without some form of quality assurance for performance, it's difficult to guarantee it. That's one of the nice parts about fiber channel SANs is that there's almost guaranteed to be no other traffic other than disk traffic on that network.
So when is iSCSI the best choice for customers?
I would say there's probably two classes of customers who are interested, going to be interested in iSCSI. The first one is those who are small to mid-sized businesses or new businesses who have no existing fiber channel infrastructure. So people who are ready to break away from direct attached storage, they need things like a clustered storage for clusters or high-performance computing, things like that. And in those cases, they may not be in the mindset to deploy a full fiber channel infrastructure. Another area where people would be considering, even those who already have fiber channel may be considering iSCSI, is for, again, smaller, cheaper development environments or people who need more speed in terms of deployment. A lot of my customers who use iSCSI report that it's easier and faster to connect a server to storage from scratch than it is with fiber channel, not having to pull cables, not having to set up zoning that could be sensitive to other enterprise applications. You know, click, 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 and it's done is the terms I hear.
So what value-add opportunities exist with iSCSI implementations?
So VARs have a big opportunity here in three major areas. The first one is that they can implement dedicated iSCSI networks. So we talked a little bit earlier about the performance challenges associated with running mixed protocols or mixed workloads in the same network. So some customers are interested in deploying small IP networks that are just for storage or just for iSCSI. And so VARs have an opportunity to help obviously do the equipment sourcing and potentially the implementations for those dedicated networks. There's a lot of decisions to be made when you're evaluating. Another area is evaluating software versus hardware on iSCSI. For example, should you be using regular NIC cards, the standard NIC cards come in the server, or should you be using iSCSI HPAs, which are in essence the TCP offload engine on the board. Vendors for the storage, obviously lots of vendor selection that needs to go on, you know, who provides the iSCSI targets. And then I'd say probably the most prominent area where customers may not already be leveraging this technology, but this is finally the good excuse that they need, is to help customers understand their IP networks and implement quality of service tools. It may mean network switch upgrades. It may mean traffic analyzers. It may mean knowledge transfer and training about how to look for the traffic and how to spot it and separate it. So there would certainly be lots of value-add opportunities in helping customers implement quality of service so that they can run iSCSI and all the other traffic on the same network.
And what are some of the risks associated with iSCSI?
Well, if you don't implement one of the risks, we talked about iSCSI HPAs that have built-in tow cards or TCP offload engines. One of the risks are that performance or CPU, disk performance, storage performance, or the bandwidth of the CPU utilization may be higher than what people expected if they don't use the TCP offload engines. So the server carries a bigger burden in non-iSCSI HPA environments. So that could be some risk if the servers are already pretty heavily burdened. And non-prioritized networks, you know, it could go one of two ways. Either A, your iSCSI performance could suffer and people, you know, are dissatisfied with it, or it's possible that iSCSI traffic could saturate the network, you know, upsetting other areas of network performance. For example, IP telephony may suffer as a result of putting iSCSI on the network. So there's a real risk there. And then it's also one of the other things that people don't think about very often is that iSCSI is so easy to deploy, and it's not contained like a traditional fiber channel SAN is. So it's kind of difficult to reverse engineer existing iSCSI infrastructures and determine who's using which storage. So documentation of an iSCSI network or an iSCSI SAN is actually, if not done correctly and not done with discipline, is actually could turn out to be a risk in the long run. Imagine if you don't know where that iSCSI initiator is. It's somewhere out in the ether, and you need to do a storage upgrade on your storage array, and you want to notify all the customers that there's a potential outage, but you have no idea where that device is. Without good documentation, it could make maintenance more difficult.
Finally, how will the appearance of the fiber channel over Ethernet standard change the dynamics within the SAN market? Will it take steam away from iSCSI?
That's a good question also. I'd say that first it probably would be worth discussing just for a second the differences between iSCSI and fiber channel over Ethernet. So iSCSI, as you probably know, it carries block storage traffic over a TCP/IP network that's fairly high in the OSI stack for networking. We talked about a little bit earlier, it's fairly expensive in latency and bandwidth just because you have to route all of the iSCSI frames down through the OSI layer. And it's also kind of, iSCSI was designed to be an alternative to fiber channel storage for hosts, you know, and so it's easy to adopt and quick to bring online. Fiber channel over Ethernet, conversely, it provides a direct one-to-one mapping of a fiber channel frame to an Ethernet frame. So this operates much lower in the stack. It's probably going to provide quite a bit better service in terms of performance. And as a result of that, it's a fairly simple and fast protocol. It doesn't require TCP/IP to make it work. And one of the important aspects of fiber channel over Ethernet is that it brings things like 10 gig Ethernet to fiber channel without much fuss. The design intention, though, for fiber channel over Ethernet was really to be a SAN extension product, probably to compete more with things like FCIP or IFCP, more so than to compete with connectivity for servers. So people really expected in the network, I think the environment really expected, or the industry really expected, fiber channel over Ethernet to be a good way to connect two SANs in remote locations, not necessarily to connect servers to the SAN. But there is some overlap there. And people have discovered and started to use, in fact, I read an article recently that one of the HVA manufacturers is excited about this, and that they can take the advantages of the simpler fiber channel over Ethernet protocol and extend it into the distant hosts via IP. One of the major reasons that people may be interested in this, so if you have an existing fiber channel SAN and you're looking for that IP connectivity for remote hosts, if you go iSCSI, you're going to have to deploy a completely separate network and to basically build, and I don't mean a physical network, but you're going to deploy a completely separate infrastructure for iSCSI. Whereas with fiber channel over Ethernet, it would be possible to take a few remote hosts and drop them straight into the fiber channel SAN without having to have a separate infrastructure for iSCSI. And then another major overlap or another major reason to look at fiber channel over Ethernet is it's a quick and easy way to get 10 gig Ethernet to the, or 10 gig fiber channel to the hosts. So,
thanks for joining. That's the end of our podcast. Thanks for joining me on the SearchStorageChannel.com Frequently Asked Questions podcast, Brian.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
For more information on your iSCSI SANs, fiber channel, and other storage issues that matter to you and your channel business, please visit us online at SearchStorageChannel.com. Thanks for downloading our podcast. Please join us again next time for more frequently asked questions.